I could see myself laying on the floor next to the futon in that fetal position and looking at myself and thinking, where will this road lead you?
Let me try this again.
I want you guys to listen to me.
Yeah.
I design sandwiches. My name is Jose Caballero, and I talk about the design of business. I talk about a lot of stuff.
My name is Chris Doe, and I talk about the business of design.
At the center of this operating system, it's about understanding.
Jose, can we just tell them what the show title is?
I hate you, dude.
You are watching The Process.
So I think we need to just go back to the beginning, where as far as your idea of wanting to be an artist or your creativity all started from. At what age did you realize that this was the direction that you wanted to go towards?
I grew up in the 80s, coming of age in the 80s and self-awareness in high school. And I thought that, like, the word graphic design was not part of my vocabulary. It was an artist, the only living proof I can see of an artist were people who worked at the fairgrounds. They would draw your portrait, caricatures. And I thought that was really awesome. Like, wow, what talent. So being a very practical person in that kind of strict Asian upbringing, I still didn't allow myself to do that. Everybody around me could see it, and they would say, from my commercial art instructor, this is junior year, he would say, you should think about a career in art. I would just like nod, like, yeah, sure, no.
Junior year in high school.
Okay. So this is pretty late, okay? This is very late now. I still didn't want to do it. And then my younger brother's wrestling coach knew I liked to draw. And, like, people were tapping me to do stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do a drawing for the high school newspaper, and then I'm just gonna go back to studying again or playing games or whatever it is I was doing. And he introduced me to a guy, and he was a guy who owned his own company, and he ran a silk screening shop called Screen Designs. So he hired me based on my lame portfolio. He's like, okay, kid, let's do it. So my first real design job was a tracer. I was tracing his drawings. He would do a pencil drawing, and I would lay acetate over on top and take a rapidograph pen, Kohinoor, sit there and ink. My hands were shaking, because when you look at his examples, he's been doing this for decades. He used to work at Atari, and he was just like, whoo. It's like, there you do it. I'm like, oh man, how do you get the lines to, like, not jiggle like that? What the heck? So I did my first piece, and one thing leads to another, and this is the breakthrough moment here, because I was still thinking, this requires a lot of skill that I don't have yet. And I'm not sure I like this lifestyle. He comes in, he's got like a bunch of like stoners working for him. That's what he was doing. So he had me run an errand. His name is Brad Shaboya. Stocky guy, played rugby, like a big handlebar mustache, deep voice. Chris, I need you to do this for me. I'm like, what is it? Go to Dean's place and pick up the typeset. I didn't even know what that word meant. Get in my car, I drive out to his place, to Dean's house. And Dean lived in, you know, typical suburban tract home, not too far away from where the office was. Single story house. I ring the doorbell. Like, his lawn was kind of dead. Rang the doorbell. Out comes this guy, kind of like in a t-shirt and shorts. He's like, oh, are you Brad's guy? Yeah. He's like, I didn't think you'd get here so fast. I'm not ready yet. Come on in. And so I go down the hallway, and the door to his office was to the right. And then as I turned the corner, I may have experienced something that you have experienced before. It almost feels like that moment in Pulp Fiction where John Travolta and Sam Jackson, they open that case and it glows. I felt like that room was like glowing, because in this room were drafting tables, two of them, left and right, an amazingly like a well-organized set of markers colored in just these Tombow markers. I was like, wow, what is this weird? This is not a screen printing shop with ink and all that stuff everywhere. This wasn't a guy with an air compressor spray painting shirts. this is like a professional designer. They exist. And that's what one looks like. Right? So I go away with this piece of paper, bring it back to Brad. I was like, oh my God, there's this other thing. So the way I kind of retell the story is, when I crossed that threshold between the hallway and his office, I stepped from my world into the design world. I literally crossed the threshold. And I saw and felt a reality I had not seen before. At that moment in time, it's that clear in my mind. That moment in time, I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do.
That's good. And it's
so I'm 17, I think.
17. Yeah. That's an early, like light coming on type of thing. So
that's not early, dude.
Well, I mean, I think it is in a way, since when I'm teaching at Cal State Northridge, I notice, I mean, hopefully nobody here, but I'm still seeing the lights still not coming on yet. You know, and so I'm hoping that
present company excluded.
None of you excluded, guys. Right? But I do see that
the ones that didn't make it. Yeah,
yeah,
those
exactly.
People.
Those guys. I've been teaching for a long time, and I see that, right? And
I get it.
So you got this enlightenment. The light came on. And then what happened from there? What did you do? What did you, like? How determined were you? I want to hear that part. Like, what did you do? Like, how did your life change? What did you do different?
This is one tip for you guys. Okay, if you want to follow through with something, tell it to 5, 10 of the people you care the most about. They hold you accountable. It's called a social contract. When you tell people, and the more people you tell, it's not that you want to do it anymore. You just don't want to seem like a fool to those people that you told it to. So how do I know this to be true? Guess what a wedding ceremony is? It's not about your pledge to God per se. It's the pledge to your closest friends and family that through thick and thin, through sickness and in health, I do. And that's the key. So a lot of people who do these kind of like shotgun weddings and go to a chapel, they just get it done, it's legal, and the clerk stamps it. What happens to them? They don't have that same social contract. So I told everybody, I'm gonna go to this school called Arts Center. I'd never seen it. There was no internet. I know it's weird. There was no internet. And I know nothing about the school except for my boss said, you should go to Art Center, and it's in LA. And so I would continue to tell that. And then I go to community college, and I'm working on my portfolio. And the first thing that happens in day one of Commercial Art 1 at San Diego City College, I had an incredible instructor, her name is Candace Lopez, still a big part of that community. She said, I want you guys to buy a journal, and I want you to write down what your goals are after college here. I said, I want to get into Art Center. And I wrote this little bit. And she wrote, I will do everything in my power to help you. My boyfriend went to Art Center. He's an amazing artist. I think I want to help you. But I'm lazy. I'm not focused. Literally, the assignments were given on Monday, and they were due the following Monday. So when do you think I started?
Sunday night.
Sunday night at Kinko's.
You didn't hear that part.
I would do it and show my work the next day and get a great crit. I'm like, this is working. I could kind of half-ass it, use the same work ethic, the same methods from high school, and just skate by. So there's a turning point here. And I was living with my older brother, and we were starting to fight. And I was creating a lot of disruption within my family. And my brother and his girlfriend, I was causing a rift between them. So now we weren't talking. And it got a little strange. And he was like, you know, the car needs to be repaired. I need you to pay for it, because I had been floating by. And I wasn't mature enough to realize what he had done. He's basically saying, my kid brother, I'll take care of you like you're my son. You could stay here. He got me a credit card, and I used it to buy stupid things for my girlfriend. I was racking up the phone bill, and he was just a college guy. And I was coming to this emotional boiling point. And then I was talking to my mom, and she had always supported me. She was like, you could do this, you could do this. And then one very fateful night, her tone changed. Because I was telling her, you know, I hate my brother. He's so selfish and evil, and all he cares about is this, and you know, And she's like, you know, your brother's been doing all these things for you. You don't understand. But this is too stressful for you. Like, Mom, you don't understand. You know, stupid teenager stuff, nonsense, right? No, you don't understand. She's like, it's really hard to get into these schools. You want me to do it in 2 semesters? That's not possible. I need 2 years. She goes, okay, don't worry about it. I don't want to push you to do this thing. You can go to San Jose State. And with that, like, my heart sank. Because the one person who's always been behind me to support you is Mom. That's why everybody that wins an award, thank God, I thank Mom. That's what you do. And you know why? Because for most of us, that's your rock. That's your foundation. And that one thing of her saying, I want the best for you, the greatest school, to like, let's just settle for this. Maybe this isn't for you. And just those very little words, like, you know, I put too much pressure on you, just go to school, just broke me. So that night I cried like a baby. I was like, you know what? This is not working. I was sobbing. I was like, nobody, you know, you kind of get consumed in your own self-pity and you wallow and it feels great. It feels horrible. Like everybody's out to get you. And it's just that immature 17-year-old, 18-year-old mind is like, oh, this is terrible. I got nothing. And I kind of looked down a very dark path at that point. I thought, you know, and I was kind of having one of these, and I had these things quite often back then, like an outer body experience. And this is where you guys go, oh no, he's gonna go woo-woo on us, right? Like I could see myself laying on the floor next to the futon in that fetal position and looking at myself and thinking, where will this road lead you? A dark, depressing path. And you know, when you're a teenager, it's like all or nothing. I'm like, just might as well commit suicide. This is it. That's your path. Or despite all this stupid stuff, maybe you can prove them wrong. And it was because I created this scenario in my stupid brain to say that everybody was against me and nobody understood this. So there's just two paths now. I could either get it right, or I could just go down this path where they all were right, and I was just this worthless person. And I was having troubles with my girlfriend. It was just like, all of it was just this trifecta of just dumb stuff and emotional, and it broke me. And the next morning, I woke up, and I made a decision. Obviously, you guys know what the decision was, because I wouldn't be here. I'd be like dead in an alleyway. Was, you know what? I'm gonna prove them all wrong. I made the decision that no matter how long it takes me, I'm gonna get into Art Center. If I have to work a semester or two and take a semester on and off, whatever I'm gonna do, I don't need anybody's support anymore. It was that kind of resolution in my mind that I hated to let them be right. That I wanted, that was just like fire and anger and frustration, and I was gonna do what I need to do. And then within, I think, a month and a half, I put my entire portfolio together, which I thought was gonna take 2 years. So they were right. I just worked on it. And my teacher was like, whoa, what's going on? She would invite me back to her studio and introduce me to her boyfriend. He would give me critiques. And I just got it together. I created, I think, 11 pieces in a very short amount of time.
Do you remember like how many hours you put into that while you were doing that?
That's all I was doing now. Nonstop. No more Arsenio Hall. No more Paula Abdul. It's like, what the? You know, I was just cutting everything out. No more Sunday going to Kinko's to do the work. It was now time to do it. I made a list. Basically, I looked at the catalog and said, these are the requirements that you need to show. I just made it. Okay, I have a shopping bag, that'll do it. I have a CD cover, that'll cover that. I have a couple of like editorial spreads, whatever I needed to do, I worked on.
Did you keep your girlfriend at the time or?
No, that was done.
Okay.
No, that was all done. I made all these decisions all at the same time. Okay, you guys are gonna have a question. Hold on. There's from the microphone, they can hear you guys giggling at me. But it was just one of these horrible things. It was just in that pit of despair. Like, my girlfriend, things weren't working out. I think she was having a relationship with somebody else. My mom had given up on me. I was fighting with my brother. We weren't speaking anymore, and his girlfriend hated me for sure. That wasn't any, you know, ambiguity about that. And there was no career path. I couldn't get into schools. It was nothing. So that's why I say, like, it seems kind of funny right now. But if I were to take you into that emotional state And maybe somebody here or somebody in the audience have felt this, where it seems like everybody has given up on you, and it hurts. It hurt real bad. When I say I was like crying my eyes out, I was. But I made some really big decisions that night. I didn't like feeling pathetic. I didn't like who I was. And I was focusing all my negative energy into something positive. Okay? Now, there was some emotional scarring, scar tissue here. I just want to let you guys know. Because I used to cry like a baby all the time. I was like this hopeless romantic. Like, you want flowers and Valentine's? Yeah, I'll do that. Let me just craft something, you know? And then I went in. Look, if you can see it in a cinematic way, let me just paint that picture, you know? Where it's like Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi. He was in Dagobah, right? Getting training by Yoda. I think it was Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I think it was Return of the Jedi. And he goes into the tree stump, whatever, and he goes in there, and Vader's there. He's like, you know, and they do battle, and he kills him. And he's scared to look. And he walks over to Vader, and he pulls off the mask. And who did he see? It wasn't Vader. Who was it? It was himself. It was a battle with himself. So that's the cinematic version of what was going on in my brain. That night, I knew I killed the old version of me. We'll be right back.